Thank you, Brother Claiborne. Let's give the Lord a hand praise right now. God, we love you, Jesus. We thank you for your awesome presence that we feel in this place right now. Oh, God, have your way, Lord, today. In every heart, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name. I'd like to direct your attention this morning, this afternoon, I guess it is now. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. And beginning by reading verse number 1. What an awesome youth convention this has been. It's a great honor today to preach the Word of God to a great group of young people. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. I want to speak to you for a few minutes this afternoon on this subject, take another glimpse of the glory of God. Take another glimpse of the glory of God. You may be seated. I must admit to you today that every time that I have stepped to the pulpit to preach the Word of God, people have not shouted and ran the aisles, gotten the Holy Ghost and turned somersaults. There have been times when I have come to the pulpit with a message that I felt the Lord had given to me, and I preached my heart out, screamed and hollered and frothed at the mouth and jumped up and down and banged on the pulpit with every fiber of my being and all the strength I had. Yet it seemed that the best I could do was utter words that bounced off of a brick wall that had been placed about a foot in front of me. It's at those times that I have retreated after the service is over and people have come to the altar and perhaps then found their way out the door. I have found a place in the office side of the platform. And I've asked God a question. Lord, you sure this is what you want me to do? I know none of these guys back here have ever come to a time like that in their own life. Lord, you sure that you didn't want me to be a car salesman? Maybe the manager of a McDonald's? Perhaps even a park ranger up in the mountains, a long way away from anybody? But as much as my abilities oftentimes have seemed very limited, I can't imagine what it must have been like for the prophet Isaiah. For at the very commissioning service of his ministry, the Lord told him that no one was going to listen to him. Nobody was going to pay much attention to the words that he had to say. Can you imagine? Dedicate yourself to God. Study his ways. Pursue his holiness. Give him everything that you have and you are. He calls you in to his mighty service. And then just as you are about to graduate into your calling, there's a note in the box that says, and by the way, you'll spend the rest of your life preaching, but nobody's ever going to hear you. You'll spend the rest of your life, but nobody will ever heed the words that you have to say. Isaiah, there will be very little response to your effort. There's going to be very few converts at the ministry that you put forth. So, just do the best you can, Isaiah. Keep your chin up. Try your best to stay encouraged. Now, you'd probably do what I'd do in a case like that. I'd fall to my knees and say, oh my God, why me? And Lord, how long is this going to have to go on? And the answer came back to Isaiah. Isaiah, it's going to last for a pretty long time. In fact, it's going to last for a lifetime. That's the kind of troubling commission that the prophet received from the hand of the Lord. But I want you to notice something today. At the divine encounter and at the commissioning of Isaiah into his calling, it all began in a moment of awe and fear and wonder as Isaiah saw a vision of God himself. We read this morning, this afternoon, in our text scripture, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting upon a throne. He was high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, and one had six wings. Each one had wings that covered the face. They had wings that covered their feet, and with wings did they fly. And one cried out to another. There was a reverberation in the place. And it said this, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, for the whole earth is full of his glory. I can't help but believe today that for the duration of Isaiah's ministry, that vision burned in his spiritual retinas. It was the glory of God that had filled the temple that he occupied. And as it turned out, Isaiah was going to need those memories to reflect back upon, because there were coming times when nobody would listen to what he had to say. Everywhere he went, people would not observe what he had to do. It would seem that his words would fall upon death appears, and everything that he did would be as of naught. But it didn't really matter, because it all started back at a time when he had a vision of God himself sitting on the throne, and the seraphims were there saying, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Just listen to the job description that Isaiah receives. And God said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. The prophet was understandably a little bit cowed, perhaps a little bit discouraged at the gloomy predictions. For it said, then said the Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without an inhabitant, and the houses without a man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. I'm here to preach to you this morning, young people, that Isaiah was called to a task, just as you and I have been called to a task. And the task was not always going to be an easy one. When the people listened to him at all, the best that he could expect was that his words would fall on deaf ears and dull eyes. And I'm talking to young people today that are going to go home from this youth convention, and you're going to live the life. You're going to witness to people. You're going to be a shining light to the world of darkness. But in the midst of your witness, in the midst of your shining light, there's going to come days that you're going to walk down the halls of your high school and you're going to wonder, my God, is anything ever going to happen? Is anybody ever going to listen to me? It seems like though I walk right, I talk right, I dress right, I do right, I'm still not making any headway. There's still not any progress. I'm telling you, it's in that moment of your life that you need to go back to the place where the glory filled the temple, where you saw a vision of God, where the seraphims came, where the posts of the door were shaken and the building was filled with smoke. I want to talk to you today, young people. There's times when you're all alone and you face the world all alone, when you need to walk back down memory lane and you need to remember the message that Brother Mark Morgan preached. You need to remember the message and the ministry of Brian Kinsey. You need to remember the days that have gone by where the glory of God filled the Bakersfield Civic Auditorium or the Santa Maria Campground at Senior Youth Camp. You need to remember the time and place when God slayed you in the Spirit on a Sunday night service and the glory cloud came in. You need to go back to that spot. You need to glean the strength. You need to relive the moment and understand that God has called you for a purpose. I remember the day as a young man, just 17 years old, I went on a youth on missions trip. We went to the Philippine Islands. I'll never forget the time. We were in General Santos City, and we set up in an outdoor park. There was a platform, a stage out there. Very primitive place. There must have been 10,000 people that gathered there in that place as we began that open-air service that night. I'll never forget as the glory of God began to fall, and the place just became inundated with the presence of God. Native people from all over had come to that spot. I'll never forget Brother Claiborne, as Brother John McDonald, my youth president, he turned to me, a 17-year-old young man, just like Brother Morgan did Brother Torres last night, and he handed me the microphone, and he said, Galen, preach a little bit. I didn't know what to say. I was fighting, I was struggling against a call to the ministry, because I'd seen the problems my dad had encountered pastoring a church, and the times that people that he had tried to help had walked on him, and I had made my mind up. I wasn't going to put up with that. I wasn't going to go through with that. But then when Brother McDonald handed me the mic, I walked to that stage. All I knew to do was start quoting Acts 2:38. And I said, then Peter said unto them, and something hit me at the top of my head, and it went all the way through to the soles of my feet. And I knew it was the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I can take you back to the time. I can show you the spot on the stage that it happened. And I knew from that point that I wasn't going to preach the word of God just because Daddy was a preacher. But God had sent the glory. God had revealed himself to me. I had felt the touch of the anointing.
And there was going to come times in my life that I would walk through low valleys. I would walk through times of desolate places. I would walk through the deep valley of discouragement. And the devil would come to me and say, "You're not called to preach. You're not a minister. What are you doing walking through the pulpit? There's a brick wall in front of your face. People can't hear you. What are you doing? You should be flipping burgers at McDonald's." But I can look square back in the face of the devil and say, "Devil, let me take you to General Santos City on the island of Mindanao at a street service with 10,000 native Filipinos. And I remember when God touched my heart, I remember the anointing that flooded my soul." I remember in that same crusade, we were praying around the altar one night, and they brought an elderly Filipino lady up to the front, and the word circulated amongst us all: she's been deaf all of her life. She's never heard in her life. She was up in years. It was just a bunch of us young men that gathered around here, her. I believe Pastor Abbott was there with us. As we gathered around her and we began to pray with faith in our hearts, we began to call on the name of Jesus. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. All of a sudden she began to go, "Ah!" and hit the sides of her head as hard as she could, because for the very first time, sounds were penetrating and she was hearing sounds that she had never heard before in her entire life. I'm telling you today, there's been times when I have prayed for people and they have had the flu or they've had disease and they've walked away from there, and for whatever reason God saw fit not to heal them, and Satan would come to me and say, "See there, God doesn't answer your prayer. God doesn't really care about your plea. But I can take you back to the time and place when I was involved in a prayer meeting and a lady that was up in years had never heard before, but the glory of God descended from heaven and touched her, and she received a miraculous healing." And I can stand up in the face of the enemy today and say, "Satan, you're a liar. Satan, get on out of Dodge. You don't have any reason hanging around here and plaguing my thoughts with your doubtful ways," because I can look back to the time where God's glory came down. Hallelujah. 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 I can take you back to a junior youth camp, Eureka Springs, up on a hillside at the age of 8 years old. I remember Brother Royce Elms, was the camp evangelist that week. And it was on a Thursday night. I had been seeking the Holy Ghost. I wanted the Holy Ghost. And it was on a Thursday night that I went up to that altar, and I made up my mind I wasn't leaving there without it. And towards the end of that altar service, I think I was one of the last kids that was still on the altar. But all of a sudden, it seemed that a light from heaven shone down and glory flooded my soul. And I was speaking in a heavenly language as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. "You've come too late to tell me, friend, that the Holy Ghost ain't real. You've come too late to tell me, devil, that this is just some work up emotionalism. And you've come too late to tell me that you can teach me how to speak in tongues. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, I've experienced it from the time I was 8 years old. I can take you back to Eureka Springs. I can show you the place. I can see the tabernacle in my mind." I'm going to tell you something, young people. It's in the midst of your valley. It's in the midst of your struggle. It's in the midst of your temptation that sometimes you need to take a walk back down memory lane. You need to remember the night you were slain in the spirit at a youth convention. You need to remember and gain strength for your journey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. And His train did fill the temple. And it doesn't matter if my words fall on deaf ears. If it doesn't matter if no one ever seems to appreciate or understand or respond to my one God apostolic testimony. All that matters to me is that there was a time and a place when I saw the Lord. I saw the vapor cloud. I saw the Shekinah. And young person today, if you've never had an Isaiah experience, if you've never experienced the glory of God to that magnitude, don't let this week go by without finding your way into His presence. Hallelujah. Go back to that vision. Isaiah knew that he was a called man. There was no question that God had sent him. There is great power and confidence in knowing that. Whatever your occupation, whether you're gas meter reader, work at Grand Auto, salesman, JCPenney or Sears and Roebuck, or still in high school. It doesn't matter. Whatever occupation, we need to find a place where God has revealed Himself to us. And every once in a while, we need to go back and revisit the moment. We need to remember that when we came to God the first time, we were all messed up. We came to that service that night on alcohol and drugs. Our lives were all messed up like Brother Morgan was preaching that last night. We sat there in that service and suddenly we began to feel something that we had never felt. Our heart began to say, "Oh God, I've got to change. I need You. I can't be content with the way I'm living any longer." And we came down. I want you to think about that day, young person. I want you to think about the time that nicotine had a hold of you. I want you to think about the disillusionment of your teenage years. I want you to walk back down memory lane. And then I want you to come back down the aisle like you did the first time and relive the glory when the Lord filled you with the Holy Ghost for the very first time. Relive the moment. Gain strength from the moment. And then let me say that if you needed God then, and God was the answer then, the same God is alive today, and He's still the answer today. Whenever you struggle, whenever you feel confusion, whenever you feel disillusionment, the same God that delivered you then is the same God who will bring you through today. Walk down memory lane and glean from the power of God's vision in your life. Hallelujah. I often think of the Apostle Paul languishing in a Roman dungeon somewhere beneath the city streets of Rome. I think of him clanking around in a filthy cell, bruised ankles where the shackles had cut into his flesh. But I want you to realize that shortly before the death of the Apostle Paul, He penned these words in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. He said this, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." Look at your surroundings, Paul. Things look a bit bleak right now. It looks like you're headed for the axe that will separate your head from your shoulders. You'll never get out of this dungeon, Paul. And Paul would take an old, crumpled commission of the gospel out of his pocket perhaps, blood-stained, war-stained commission, and he would hold it up to the glim of the small light that comes into the dungeon, and he would say, "Here, look at this. There was a day that I was walking down the road to Damascus. I was a sinner. I was a murderer. And all of a sudden, a bright light shone from heaven, and I heard a voice of God speak to me and call me into his service. Since that time, I've seen revival. Since that time, I've seen miracles. But today, there's no revival. Today, there's no miracles. It's only dungeon. It's only chains. It's only shackles. But that's not what's important. What's important is I know that I've been called. I know that I've been chosen. I know that I've been called an apostle. I know that I've been called a preacher of the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of it, because I know that what I've given to God, God's going to take care of it. Until the end, God will take care of it. You need to realize something, young piece of people, young person today, that God has a calling on your life. God has a ministry for you to accomplish. It's not by happen chance that you are here as a part of this generation at the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Satan would like to make you believe is that you're a nothing, a nobody, a non-existent personality in the midst of hundreds, yea, thousands of young people, that where immorality is not the exception but the rule. What you need to understand today, when you go back to school and all alone, you're all by yourself, is this one thing: I'm a child of the King. I'm a called saint of God. I have a commission on my life. It's His vision and it's my mission. And if you can go back to the glory room, if you can go back to the temple where you've seen the presence of God, nothing else really matters at all. Do you have a road to Damascus in your life today? Is there an Isaiah moment in your life today? You may be seated. If there isn't, then I urge you, I plead with you, that before this youth convention's over, that you see the glory of God, not only as it fills this physical, literal temple, but as it fills the temple of your soul. It becomes so powerful that the doorposts are shaken. Isaiah, they didn't hear you preach today. Tomatoes came flying at every word you uttered. They don't like you, Isaiah. They don't like your walk with God. They don't like your holiness words. They don't like the fact that you're an example of God in the midst of their sinful condition and their sinful state. And Isaiah would say, "But you don't understand. There was a time when my lips were unclean, and I cried out to God, 'Oh God, I'm an unclean vessel.' And God sent forth the seraphim that flew across the room with a hot coal. Then he placed it upon my mouth. And from that moment on, I know that I have a job to do. It's a vision of God. It's a mission that God has called me to accomplish. And it doesn't matter if no one ever listens. It doesn't matter if no one ever comes to church with me. It doesn't matter if I never see one of my classmates get the Holy Ghost. All that matters is that one time I was in the room and I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and I saw the seraphim as he came with the hot coal and placed it upon my mouth. And I can't get away from it. It's with me. Everywhere I go, I must proclaim His word. I must live an example everywhere I go. Because I saw the doorpost shaking. I saw the smoke. I saw the angelic host of God. It became a strength to Isaiah. As I close today, Isaiah not only learned to go back to the room where he first saw the glory of God, But Isaiah learned to get God's telescope out. Isaiah learned the use of a spiritual telescope. What is a telescope? A telescope is something that you can put to the eye, and you can look at something that is a long way off, even as far away as a distant star. And you can look at that, and you can see it as though it's close to you. And he looks into time, and he looks through the telescope, and he says, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." In Isaiah 28 we read, "For with stammering lips and an unknown tongue will I speak to my people, and this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest." What are you doing, Isaiah? I'm encouraging myself. They're not listening to me. I can go back to the time I saw the glory of God, and I can pick up the telescope, and I can look forward to the time when I see His glory on the horizon again. Young people, I want you to pick up God's telescope today. I want you to peer through the telescope of God. I want you to see exactly what is in store for you who refuse to be deceived by Satan, who refuse to be overcome by compromise, who refuse to bend and bow to the sensual pleasures of this world. I want you to look through God's telescope today and see what God has in store for those who are overcomers.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Listen up. Listen up. God's going to show us something here.
To him that overcometh. Will I give to eat of the tree of life.
You're going to eat of the tree of life. I have something prepared for you that no one else has ever partaken of before. There's a promise that I have given you. Now just pick up the telescope today and let's look and see. You're going to eat of the tree of life. Read on.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Yeah.
To him that overcometh. Will I give to eat of the hidden manna.
He's going to eat of the hidden manna.
And will give him a white stone.
God's got secret things that he's never revealed to the church yet. Of all the wonderful mysteries of God, he's still got promises for you. You think you've eaten the bread of life thus far. You think you've drank from the well thus far. There's still some manna that's never been revealed. But you can pick up the telescope of God, and you can see God is going to let us eat of hidden manna. Read on.
And in the stone a new name written.
There's going to be a new name what?
Written.
What?
Written.
This old name of sin and flesh is going to be gone. And what's going to happen?
Which no man knoweth.
There's going to be a new name written in a stone that God gives me that no man knoweth. Read on.
Saving he that receiveth this.
And he that receiveth this. Read on.
But that which ye have already hold fast.
Yes, that which who hold fast. Read on.
Till I come.
Till he comes. I'm telling you today, young people, there's promises in God's word. Read on. Praise God.
He that overcometh.
He that overcometh.
The same shall be clothed in white raiment.
Oh, did you like that drama yesterday? White raiment.
And I will not.
I will not
blot out his name out of the book of life.
There's a book of life. And when he calls your name to step up to the book, if you think that drama yesterday was awesome, and it was awesome, but friend, there is no way that we can possibly recreate what it's really going to be like when you step up to that white throne. And he says, your name I'm not going to blot out. It's a new name. Read on.
But I will confess his name before my Father before his angels.
I'm going to confess your name before all the host of angels. Read on.
Him that overcometh.
To him that overcometh.
Will I make a pillar in the temple of my God.
You're going to be a pillar in the temple of God.
And he shall go no more out.
You won't go out. You're not going to backslide. Satan's not going to tempt you. The days of temptation are over. Read on.
And I will write upon him the name of my God.
I will write upon him the name of God.
And the name of the city of my God.
And the name of the city of God.
Which is New Jerusalem.
The New Jerusalem.
Which cometh down out of heaven from my God.
Which cometh down out of heaven.
And I will write.
And I will write
upon him my new name.
I'm going to write upon him the name of my city, which is the New Jerusalem. I'm going to write upon him the name of God. And I'm going to write him a brand new name. Read on.
To him that overcometh.
To him that overcometh.
Will I grant to sit with me in my throne.
Oh, just come up to the throne here and kneel down and worship for the first 1,000 years. No. The Lord says, him that overcometh, he's going to scoot over and say, come on, child, just sit up here with me on the throne for a while. I'm struggling. I'm being tempted. Nobody's listening. Nobody appreciates my convictions. Nobody understands what it is to live for God. But I'm looking through the telescope. I'm looking through a telescope of time, and I can see things that are a long way off, as though they are right now. I can appreciate them right now. Read on.
He that overcometh.
He that overcometh.
Shall inherit all things.
You're going to inherit all things.
And I will be his God.
I will be your God.
And he shall be my son.
You're going to be my son. Read on.
But the fearful and
unbelieving
and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone.
They're in your face today. They're calling you weird today. They're saying you're a weirdo, a holy roller. You wear your long dresses. You wear your uncut hair. You don't wear your weird haircuts. You don't do the things of the world. Just pick up the telescope, young person. You're going to find out that one day, idolaters and liars and whoremongers and everybody who is not an overcomer will see their demise, see their destruction. But to he that overcometh, look back to the vision and pick up the telescope and take a glimpse of the glory of God. Does anybody want to be an overcomer here today? Does anybody want to see those gates of pearl here today? Anybody want to walk on streets of gold? Eat of the tree of life? Then I say, we serve notice on the devil. The devil, no matter what you do to me, I'm not giving in. Backing up, shutting up, but I am going to be an overcomer. It's time to take another glimpse of his glory. It's time to take another glimpse of his glory today. Hallelujah. This altar area is open for the next few minutes. If you want to enter in to a place of your own experience, if you want to once again come in to the room of the glory of God, this place is the sanctuary of praise today. You can look through the telescope of time. You can see the promises of the church. But you can get right now an immediate glimpse of the vision of the glory of Almighty God. Would you come? Hallelujah. Glory.
He's here. He's there. Happy.
Yes, he is.
God is here. He's in this place.
Oh.
I can feel it down in my heart. He's here. He's there. I feel it everywhere. God is in this place.
He's here right now today.
God is here.
The Lord is in this place.
I can feel it.
Just take another glimpse.
He's here. He's there. I feel it everywhere. God is in this place.
Oh, yes, he is. That's it. Come on. Come on. Find another road to Damascus. Hallelujah.
He said, I feel it everywhere. God is in this place. God is in
Billy!